The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Can you smell what the peat is cooking? I need home cooking. Peter Boyles, News Talk 710, KNUS.
We are a week away from the return of Peter Boyles as he continues his historic journey in and around Germany. I'm Randy Corcoran filling in. We're halfway through the show at 7:02. Sun is finally starting to poke up. We'll be speaking with the Colorado State GOP Vice Chair Christy Burton Brown here in just a couple of minutes. Before we wrap up with David DeCenzo, the volunteer office manager for Recall Leroy Garcia petition drive down there in Pueblo, I just cannot believe what I just saw. Soledad O'Brien is the former anchor over there at CNN. The show was called American Morning, something like that. She's also been a correspondent for Al Jazeera America, even on HBO's Real Sports with Bryant Gumbel. She's got literally millions of followers. And for some reason, she follows me on Twitter. I have no idea why that is, but it causes me to see some of her stuff. And she just tweeted out, now that the ethnic, I guess it wasn't just now, but I just saw it. Now that the ethnic cleansing of the Kurds is underway, has anyone checked in on the white college educated women who voted for Trump? Apparently these leftists think that by attacking each other or their fellow ladies, their fellow Americans, that somehow they're going to persuade somebody of something. Kind of like, you know, somebody did something to some buildings in New York City. These people are bizarre. God, I think even Colorado has a chance to turn this thing around. Anyway, let's get back to David DeCenzo. We'll wrap up our conversation. I looked at the video again of this big bully towering over the grandmother, flipping them off, children around at this petition gathering event. And it is so emblematic, David, of the left, you know, the Antifa thugs who try and shut down free speech, the constant finger-pointing and accusing the other side of doing what you yourself are actually doing. I just don't understand how rational human beings could think that that's a winning position over the long term in the United States of America.
I don't either. That video is amazing, and as I said, there's more in front of it. But some of the tactics that were used at Walmart was to use the survey line to complain that the petitioners were bothering Walmart customers. But we didn't approach people. We sat there and waited for them to come to us. We didn't knock on the door. We have been in the last 3 weeks knocking on doors, but we hadn't at that time. We had not been knocking on doors. So, it is interesting the tactics that are used, and I think there's cronyism also that happens. We at the state fair, the Polis collection booth, we tried to sit in with them. They had two booths wide. They paid good money for those booths, and I think it was all donations. And we were asked to leave by the state fair management. So. I've got a couple of amendments that I would suggest would help with redress of grievances. You know, redress of grievances has been in our thinking in the First Amendment. It's one of the five enumerated rights in the First Amendment. But the Boston Massacre with Crispus Attucks, who was killed by a monarchy, basically a single party running the. Did I lose you? No, somebody's calling.
No, we're right here.
Sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, good. But anyway, the Boston Massacre, it's in our thinking. That kind of redress of grievances is important. And of course, we've got the Second Amendment too. But the two amendments, one would be that state-owned property like the state fairgrounds, no matter where it's located, should be available for redress of grievances, because redress of grievances is not a business like selling pots and pans like other vendors you'd see at the state fair. And the same thing with the Chili Fest. That's public streets that are being used, and there's vendors from all over coming there to create. It's like it's the old town square before we had these big box stores. And the second part of that first one, proposed amendment, would be that should it be appealed, it needs to be argued for the amendment by an outside firm, not state attorneys. So that's the first one. The second one is that multi-state big box stores, the places where we had troubles this year, need to be declared public spaces. They replaced our local merchants, our local brick and mortar stores, and those are our new public spaces. And like the town squares, like where the Boston Massacre happened, and we need to gain back our ability to do redress of grievances to our government in those places. And so that would be the second one. I'm not a lawyer. I don't know how to write it, but
sure.
But the second part where it needs to be argued by a state attorney, not a state attorney, an outside firm with a record of winning at the Supreme Court needs to be done, because that one there has, as you know, private property problems. But it's something that a court could decide, especially if we put it in our Constitution, the vote of the people.
Well, David, especially in light of the research that I did and that other people helped me put together when you guys were getting tossed out of Walmart parking lots and places like that, those kinds of ideas and amendments make perfect sense to me, and something we can talk more about later. I was hoping we were going to break some news today on the signatures. It looks like people will have to wait, but apparently you guys think you have enough to make it worth driving into the Secretary of State and turning them in, and so we will wait with bated breath to see what the success or failure of this very valiant effort to recall Senate President Leroy Garcia. I do appreciate your time this morning. Hope you have a great weekend, sir, and a safe trip to the Secretary of State's office.
Thank you, Randy.
All right, David, you take care. I'm going to move right to the vice chairman of the Colorado State GOP. Has become a good friend as well, and boy, every time I see her, just a better and better stump speaker. Christy Burton Brown joins us. Good morning, ma'am.
Hey, good morning, Randy.
You were on fire across the street from the radio station at Jason Crow's office when we did the Stop the Impeachment Madness visit on that cold, snowy Thursday last week. That was a significant event. Did you see that the picture I took of everybody, well, not everybody, but a group of the people in the snow in front of the trees got posted in the on the Epoch Times with a long story?
I did see
and
that.
Yeah. So
yeah, no, it was awesome to have the coverage.
Spoke with Jenny Beth Martin earlier this week from Tea Party Patriots, and she said these things were going on all around the country, and it's just so important for people to show up for that sort of thing. And I was especially impressed because of how miserable the weather was and how dangerous the driving was, that anybody turned out at all.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, there was a significant group of people there in the middle of the snowstorm. And you're right, Randy, this is what we're doing all across the nation. The congressional races that are really in play, and we can take them back from the Democrats and get Nancy Pelosi out of that speaker's seat. Those are the feats across the nation where Republicans are holding press conferences and just calling on these radical Democrats listening to the extreme wing of their party to actually work for the people in America and stop all the madness and demanding these impeachment proceedings that are not grounded in fact. They're just fishing expeditions. I mean, this is the last thing the American people need. We need politicians who actually work for us and get things done, not just give in to the craziness.
I think you were gone by the time this occurred. I stuck around because the Tea Party version of what the GOP did nationwide was occurring basically at the same time. And so we stretched it out over the course of an hour, and I wanted to make sure I was there for everybody that came. I think you had already left when we met a young mother who we named Anne. She wanted to remain confidential, her identity anonymous. But she drove a couple of hours with her young daughter to get to visit with and leave her thoughts with Congressman Jason Crow's office. As you know, many of us went up.
Well,
many of us went up individually, rang the doorbell. We were made aware right away that Crow was apparently somewhere else, but they wouldn't even let us in to leave a message, talk to an associate or an aide or anybody else. But this young mother, Anne, demanded. She said, "I drove 2 hours with my young daughter, and I expect to be heard by my congressman." She's the only one of all of us who were there and waited and tried that was allowed to go in and leave her message. And she was a former Clinton voter who said she didn't like the impeachment then. And she's a Trump voter now and says that it's clearly just an effort to relitigate 2016 and try some desperate way to keep the president from being reelected in 2020. It was very powerful. I interviewed her and played some of that on my Saturday show last week.
Oh, that's great. No, I mean, those are exactly the stories that we need to bring to the forefront, like you're doing, Brandy. And I think, you know, as I travel Colorado, we're seeing stories like that all over of people who were Obama voters or were Clinton voters and now are absolutely behind President Trump and see that he's the kind of president that stands up for the working people and stands up for our families and is willing to tackle the issues that so many typical politicians don't have solutions to. But he does, because I think he's not willing to play politics as usual. He's willing to step in and actually get things done, which is the problem we see with Democrats like Jason Crow. They are so scared of the extreme wing of their own party that they're not willing to place politics to the side and get in the mess and step in there and get things done for the American people. And I think now that people have seen what President Trump can do, they're going to be sick and tired of politicians who want to play the game and not get the work done. And I think we're going to see a big wave of that in 2020. That's why President Trump's going to get reelected and why I think we're going to take back a whole lot of seats across the nation, including the loss from Jason Crow. We'll take that one back, I think, and put it in the Republican column again.
Right. You've identified several things I'd like to talk to you about. We got to you a little late, so let me just check what your time is. If we push you into a second segment, are you okay to pick up on the other side in about 6 or 7 minutes? Because it'll help me decide how many of these.
Time.
Okay, good. So, first of all, Jason Crow is the... You said that from the GOP side, and this was true for Tea Party Patriots, too, that we were targeting what were expected to be or are being considered vulnerable seats. Has there actually been some identification of CD6 and Jason Crow as a vulnerable Senate or a House seat coming up in 2020? What's the basis for that, if so?
Oh, yeah. No, he's definitely one of the most vulnerable people in Congress right now. One of the reasons for that is he's a first-term congressman. It's a lot easier to win back a seat when a Democrat has only sat in that seat for one term. Yeah, that's one reason. Another reason is he really has extremely few, if any, accomplishments that he's done in his little time in office. He hasn't really done much for the people of Colorado. So people in CD6 are not going to be attached to him in any way. He hasn't championed anything for us. He's gone there and kind of fulfilled the agenda that AOC and that wing of the party has set out, and he's flip-flopped on his positions. You don't really see a strong congressman in that scene, not someone who the people can say, oh, wow, he's really fought for us. He hasn't. He's gone in there and done the bidding of Washington politicians and extreme socialists. So, you know, that doesn't play well in a moderate district like CD6. When you need a congressman who can actually speak to the issues people in that district care about.
It's a great point that you make, because really no Democrats have accomplished much of anything during the presidency of Donald Trump, because all they have tried to do, and especially since they took the House in 2018, because all they've tried to do is take down the president. They haven't gotten together to pass any important legislation. The USMC trade deal is just sitting on the table, something that Democrats and Republicans alike support. They just don't want to give a victory to this president. And they are also exposing themselves with the help of AOC and this clown car of Democrat presidential candidates and Nancy Pelosi's behavior to just how extreme, radical, and ineffective they are. So I really feel like Republicans should be optimistic about our chances in 2020. One of the things we're going to talk to you about is what's happening with the Colorado State GOP. That was the primary reason for bringing you on. But one more thing I'd like to explore with you. You brought it up in your last answer. And I just think it's so important for people to recognize and remember is that you said, you know, people are able to see the record of accomplishments of this president and how he is the non-politician just taking on heat from Republicans and Democrats alike, doesn't care, keeps plowing forward. But it just reminded me of the little snippets I saw from the Trump rally last night. There is such a joy and a pleasure and an excitement in those rallies. And it's two ways. You can tell Donald Trump feels it and he gives it. And you compare and contrast that to the yelling, angry, pounding, petulant, petty, press conferences or mini rallies that these Democrat presidential candidates are having, or even the debates. It's all so negative and so gross that cannot be appealing to 2020 voters.
Oh, absolutely not. And I think, the rallies say so much. And those are the demographics of the people that are coming to these rallies. And one that I think is particularly important in Colorado is one that was held just a little bit over our border in Rio Rancho, New Mexico. About 40% of the people who came, and this was like a 40,000-person crowd, were Hispanics. And someone else who attended personally told me that there was a high percentage of Native Americans at the rally. And we had about thousands of documented Democrats who were at the rally. Not just a couple here and there, but thousands among this 40,000-person crowd were Democrats. So these are the kind of people that are coming to hear President Trump. They're not coming as protesters. They're coming as part of the rally, part of the people cheering the president on and realizing that he has kept his promises and done things for the American people. And actually, if you don't mind me throwing it out, promiseskept.com is a website that lists all the accomplishments that the president has done for the American people in many areas, for the military, for the economy, for our families. If people want to know what has he done, there's an entire website dedicated to listing it out for people.
Wow, that's terrific, promiseskept.com. And let me just tell you, I spent a chunk of hours last night at this place downtown where the Denver Broncos used to actually play football. And there was a game going on, but the Broncos sure weren't there playing. But my buddies and I, we were downtown. We had dinner downtown on the 16th Street Mall. I wore my Keep America Great hat that I got in D.C. right after my speech on the West Lawn of the Capitol from a black entrepreneur, by the way, who was a big, avid Trump supporter. We had an interesting conversation. But walking around in liberal Denver, of course, no negative comments. The people kind of look at you funny. But there were a number of people, even in this fine steak restaurant and at the stadium and elsewhere. And this is happening to me all around the country, Christy, who are nodding or coming up and saying, hey, like your hat. And you just know there is this massive group of people who don't want to say anything. They don't want to get typecast or categorized or beat up or concrete milkshakes thrown at them, but they are desperately waiting for their next opportunity to vote for this president, and it's very exciting.
Absolutely. And I think when we see him win again in 2020, that's when all these people who are, you know, perhaps feeling a little timid to come out and say it right now will feel empowered just to basically be Americans again.
Yeah.
Because it's sort of the dichotomy that Democrats have set up. Like, you have to be embarrassed to be an American. And they're pushing a lot of fear tactics. And we, along with President Trump, are the party of freedom, the party of opportunity, the party that's proud to actually be an American. I think we will give a voice to that in 2020. And certainly as we reelect President Trump, it will become very possible to be proud to be an American again and to stand up for the values we all hold dear inside our hearts if we're not able to speak it out right now.
Yeah.
I think he's empowering a lot of people to finally find their voice, which is something we need in America.
Yeah, one of the quotes from that Donald Trump left us with from the rally last night, which I haven't watched, is tied up, but Democrats are now the party of high taxes, high crime, open borders, yep, late-term abortion, socialism, and blatant corruption. The Republican Party is the party of the American worker, the American family, and the American dream. What a winning message. So here's,
absolutely.
Yeah, here's what we're going to do, Christy. I had gotten you on to talk about the Colorado GOP. People are wondering, you know, why Trump is not rallying in Colorado. I will note that in those Moody projections that came out a few days ago, and Moody was very accurate in their past predictions going all the way back to 1980, one election that they got wrong. They're predicting a Trump landslide, bunch of red states, 40-plus. Colorado is not among them. So when we come back on the other side, let's jump into what's happening with the Colorado GOP. The new leadership team has been in place now for 8 months, and folks have questions. So will you stick around?
We'll stick around.
All right, very good. At 7:22, we'll take our pause. Really looking forward to the 8 o'clock hour when I'll be joined by the person who actually got me into talk radio. He invited me in as a sponsor to the show, Grassroots Radio Colorado, invited me in to talk about my law firm as kind of a commercial activity. I don't think we ever not once talked about my law firm. Instead, we started talking politics. I was invited back, then a guest host, co-host, and then an individual co-host, and I've been addicted ever since. We'll be joined by my dear friend, Ken Clark, in the 8 o'clock hour. But in the meantime, we'll continue with Christy Burton Brown, and why don't we do this while we've got open lines? We've got two tickets to give away for the News Talk 710 special War for America's Soul. That's the one coming up a week from Tuesday with Dennis Prager, and Michelle Malkin will be back in town as well. Tuesday night, October 29th at CU South Denver. Caller 10 at 303-696-1971 wins a pair of tickets. And, boy, we're so grateful to our sponsors for that. The new movie, No Safe Spaces, with Dennis Prager and Adam Carolla. That's in theaters November 1st. And our friends at Alpha One Tax and Wealth, where planning, service, and precise execution come together. That's online at alphaonetax.com. AlphaOneTax.com. More with Christy Burton Brown when we come back. We're back at 7:29. Sun is up, warming up as well. 57 degrees in Aurora already, but we're going to top out around 65. We are done with the 70s and 80s for a while. Could be as low as 48 degrees by Thursday for the high. So enjoy it while it lasts. I'm Randy Corcoran, your Saturday morning pumped up purveyor of principled, passionate patriotism who refuses, will not, under any circumstances, pop his peas into the microphone. And we continue our conversation with the young, dynamic, conservative new face of the Colorado State GOP. She's also a very bright constitutional attorney. We like our conservative women in the Republican Party. Puts the tells the tale that the Republican Party is not simply a party of old white men. And I'm talking about Christy Burton Brown. She's the vice chairman. And Christy, I know when you first took the job, you were traveling all around the state, county after county after county. And is it true? Is there a change in any of the dynamics, the demographics of the Republican Party in the state of Colorado, or are we still mostly turning out a certain age category, 50 and above, a lot of gray hair in the mix? What are you seeing as you go around presenting your fresh face?
That's a good question, Randy. I think we still have work to do. There's no question about that. But I think turning out more younger people is always something we can work on, because eventually those will be the biggest voting block that our party needs. But I think one thing we're seeing is just more people getting involved, period, regardless of age or gender or race or anything like that. We're just seeing bigger crowds of people. I mean, I'll give you Huerfano County as one example. When I went to their Lincoln Day dinner, last time they had caucuses, they literally had 6 people show up. At their Lincoln Day dinner, they had 75. And that was a record turnout for them. They just had all these people who were extremely excited to turn our state around. I think the anger that you see with what the Democrat legislature did this last session and probably what they're about to turn around and do again has drawn out a lot of moms, actually, suburban moms about my age, who see how their kids are being impacted by these policies, how their husbands and themselves are at risk of losing their jobs in the oil and gas industry, and so many other portions of our society here in Colorado that Democrats are really targeting. And that's waking up a lot of parents, a lot of moms. I think that's another group you're seeing really be attracted to the Republican Party in our state, because we're not attacking, you know, industries in Colorado and parents' choices with their kids, like you see Jared Polis and his fellow Democrats at the legislature doing.
Do you know who Soledad O'Brien is?
I have heard of them.
She's a former CNN anchor. She worked for Al Jazeera America. Pretty significant celebrity among lefties, million or more followers on Twitter. And she, 1.1 million. And she follows me on Twitter for some reason. So I get stuff that pops up from her now and then. And this rolled across my timeline or whatever it's called on Twitter. She wrote, "Now that the ethnic cleansing of the Kurds is underway, has anyone checked in on the white college-educated women who voted for Trump?" Now, how endearing of a tweet is that to someone like you, a white college-educated woman who voted for Trump? Is that just calling out to Christy Burton Brown and other soccer moms around to say, "Oh, my God, I really made a mistake. Look at what's happening to our country. It's falling apart. We're going wait." You know? I mean, this seems to be the only method that the Democrats have, is to disparage, to demean, to try and shame people.
Well, you know, I think that is their strategy, and I think they try and divide us into groups instead of seeing us as Americans who want similar things for our families, for our economy. Instead, they want to say, "Oh, here's how white women should vote. Here's how this segment of the minority population should vote. Here's how old white men vote." I mean, they just try and divide us and separate us and say that certain people only care about certain issues. And it's an old tactic the left likes to use. I mean, for years and years and years, they've told women that we should be defined solely by our stance on reproductive rights. And that's the only issue a woman can care about. And they've acted as though, you know, women can only be Democrats because Democrats support abortion and Republicans don't. Newsflash to them, women don't only vote based on reproductive rights. And for one thing, huge percentage of women across the nation are pro-life because we have children and we know the value of human life. Like, mothers understand that better than anyone else.
Can I ask you, is it a conscious choice to use the vernacular of the left, reproductive rights? Because women have all the reproductive rights in the world, you know. If you don't want to get pregnant, don't have sex. If you don't want to get pregnant, there are multiple ways out there to make it extremely unlikely that you're going to get pregnant if you choose to have sex. They have all the rights in the world. The only right they're talking about on the left is the right to slaughter an unborn baby in the womb. And it bothers me a bit when we kind of adopt that soft-pedaled language of the left. And I'm just wondering if it's a strategy because, you know, you do talk to soccer moms and others around the state.
Well, yeah, and I think my point in saying it right here in this conversation is to say that's what the Democrats run around and say. They use that language.
Yeah.
And that's how they win moms and women over. They paint a picture like that of, "Oh, we're talking about your rights." And the reality is that many moms and women see through that, and they're like, you know, no, that's one in a long list of issues that involve personal responsibility and the value of human life and creation of our families and the protection of our children. And we see, I think, beyond their talking points and the phrases that they've coined and used for years that really mean nothing and are just, you know, smoke and mirrors and don't really get down to the bottom line, like you're saying, Randy. Abortion is a violent act against a child. And when women really talk about what that is, we don't support it. And I think the Democrats are losing us. And that's why you see them always changing their phrases and changing their terms, you know, to try and convince people through words that sound all fancy instead of actual policies that help our kids, that help our families. And those are the things that women care about. And I think we're tired of being divided by the Democrats. and told that because we're moms or because we're women, we should vote, you know, in this one little corner over here. We're Americans like everyone else.
Yeah.
And we care about same issues that everyone else cares about.
I want to bring it back home to the Colorado State GOP, but I will just comment that the Democrat effort is the same, whether it's the black community, the Hispanic community, the transgender or cross-gender or transitioning community. They are always trying to guilt and victimize a certain group of people in order to get them to vote.
Yep.
Regarding the Colorado State, GOP, you had Ken Buck on yesterday, and you may have heard of him. He's the chairman, and you guys have been in place for 8 months. And I'd asked him several questions. We ran out of time before they all got answered. And so people were following up with me, which was part of the reason I reached out to follow up with you. The first one is, and I think there's a great misconception built in there, was why doesn't the Colorado State GOP want Donald Trump to come to Colorado? Why are they afraid to stand with the president? Would you respond to that allegation?
Oh, absolutely. We're not whatsoever afraid to stand for the president. We have already been extremely vocal in holding events with the Trump and Victory team here in Colorado. In fact, we both have the same office, the Trump Victory team and the Gardner campaign and our state party. We all work out of the same office. We are talking together every single day about how we can achieve Republican victory by reelecting Donald Trump and Cory Gardner and our candidates up and down the ballot in 2020. So I do think that's an unfortunate misconception perhaps from past administrations at the state party, but certainly Ken Buck and myself and all of our staff are absolutely focused on reelecting Donald Trump. We want him to come here. We're asking him to come here. The Trump team says he has plans to come here in 2020.
Yes. I'm glad you said that, because I've heard the same thing directly from the horse's mouths over there that you know, Colorado is an outside shot. He's got other states that are of greater importance to his reelection, but he does not plan to leave Colorado out of that mix. I think he's looking at this as another, you know, apprentice type success story. He wants to pick up as many states and make the victory in 2020 as dramatic and sweeping as possible. In the 8 months since you guys took over, what would you describe as the top two or three changes, improvements, positive or negative, I guess? It wouldn't necessarily have to be improvements. What has changed in the Colorado Republican Party that maybe people don't see unless they're actually getting themselves involved?
Yeah, no, that's a great question, Randy. I think one of the top things is we're definitely a lot bolder than a lot of the, you know, perhaps past administrations. We have a good opportunity to be bold because of the things that are going on right now in Colorado. Ken Buck has released a number of statements taking positions on issues when the Democrats go after ICE and ridiculous things like that. We're taking a stand with the people of Colorado, with the Trump administration, and with the policies that actually benefit our families here. So we're speaking out on issues like that. We're holding events with the Trump team already, like I mentioned. I've been speaking at rallies with grassroots people. So just being more bold and speaking out is one thing.
I can attest to that, and I just looked at the clock. I got to you late. I apologize so much. Can we take this break and finish with you in the final segment of the hour?
That's fine, yeah.
All right. I'm so sorry. We'll pick up on the other side with Christy Burton Brown and get every bit of information we can get about the current Republican Party, the differences now, what they're looking for in 2020, and also what, if any, assistance they've been providing for these very important off-year elections coming up now less than a month away. So stay with us as we wrap up with Christy Burton Brown on the other side. Randy Corporan in for Peter Boyles. It's 710 KNUS.
When severe weather strikes, the 710 KNUS Weather Center has the tools you need to survive the drive. Up-to-the-minute closings and cancellations, mobile alerts, extended traffic reports and weather updates. News Talk 710 Storm Center is a service of Colorado Flat Fee Realty, the full-service real estate firm. Pay less and keep more of your money. Online at ColoradoFlatFeeRealty.com. Download our free mobile app and listen to 710 KNUS on your phone or hear us at home or at work on your Alexa device. Details at 710KNUS.com. Message and data rates apply.
This is the Peter Boyles Show.
Here I am, 7:47, 13 minutes to go until 8 o'clock. Sun is bright and shiny as we head towards 65 degrees. Randy Corporan in for Peter Boyles, and I will be back one more time next week on Monday. And really looking forward to interviewing Brigitte Gabrielle. It's been a while since I've spoken with her. I saw her at the Western Conservative Summit, but have not had her on the radio in quite a while. And then we'll have Michelle Malkin back on the Peter Boyles Show on Monday as well. At the top of this hour, we'll be joined by Ken Clark, my talk radio mentor, actually got me into talk radio, former Grassroots Radio Colorado host, now lives out of state, but always on fire. And we're going to get back to Vice Chairman Christy Burton Brown in just one second. But first, we've got to check in. We don't got to. We want to check in with Brian over there at Alpine Planning Group. Good morning, Brian.
Hey, good morning, Randy. Hopefully when we talk on Monday, I'm not going to have this cold. Got to get rid of it. Got to kick it over the weekend.
Yes, sir. Well, it should be a pretty weekend to do it. Hope you can take it easy and make it so.
We're going to try to do it. All right, let's talk about these markets this morning. We got the Dow down 28 points. S&P is basically flat, and the Nasdaq's down 3. You know, Randy, the markets, they don't like uncertainty, period. And with the climate that we're in now between impeachment talks, U.S.-China trade deal, and Brexit, investors, they're just looking for any good news to finish the year off strong. And then we take a look at 2020. Typically, in election year, the first 6 months are relatively slow, and then about 30 to 60 days before the actual election, the markets pick up because Wall Street by then has a good idea of who's going to win. So it's going to be a bumpy year or so. So if your listeners want some guidance or they need a little bit of help, by all means, give Alpine Planning Group a call. We're here. We'd love to sit down and talk with you.
Well, we always love talking to you every morning here on the Peter Boyles Show, and we thank you very much, Brian.
All right, Randy, talk to you Monday.
You bet. Alpine Planning Group is a comprehensive financial planning firm. They're committed to helping you improve your long-term financial success. And they mean their motto, investing is a matter of trust, and they're prepared to earn yours. 303-843-0918, 843-0918, or alpineplanninggroup.com.
Securities and investment advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA SIPC and registered investment advisor. Alpine Planning Group and Woodbury Financial Services, Inc. are not affiliated entities. 14 West Dry Creek Circle, Littleton, Colorado, 80120.
Quick recap of our conversation with Christy Burton Brown. If you weren't with us earlier on, we've established that the Colorado GOP is officing with the reelection campaign for Cory Gardner and Trump Victory Colorado. They're talking every single day. I've been told that Donald Trump will be coming to Colorado. They're not trying to distance themselves whatsoever. That turnout is great at these local events all around the state compared to years past. Ken Buck and others are using the bully pulpit to speak out on particular issues. And Christy, we've seen her everywhere at our 921 rally, at the Stop the Impeachment Madness gathering we had over at Jason Crow's office last week in the snow, et cetera, et cetera. One of the other questions, Christy, that one of the promises we got would be good fundraising for the Colorado State GOP. Are you in touch with that at all? Do you have any idea how that's going so far?
Yeah, you know, I think the fundraising is going well, and that is specifically something that Ken works on. Fundraising is one of his top priorities, and he is very good at it, definitely bringing in some good donors to the Republican Party. They're sitting quite well right now. As always, there's more work to be done. Some donors are understandably hesitant because of the 2018 elections. They want to see if there's actually a path forward to victory in Colorado in 2020. And that is what Ken is doing for them, is showing them how we can win in 2020. And you know, a good number of them are jumping on board and just continuing to work on that.
Do you have an actual number, or is there a place anybody can go see what's going on and compare it to years past?
Honestly, that's something we should talk with Ken about. That's his area. I don't work in that.
Yeah, and
I know there's some things we don't say publicly because, as sure. You know, there's good reasons to keep the Democrats. You know,
keep them guessing.
Yeah. Them.
Well, and I did try to talk to Ken about that, and it was, and he didn't dodge the question or anything. We just simply ran out of time. I laid out several, and we hit the end before he got to that piece. But in the minute or two that we have left, what is the most important thing you guys would like the public to know, the listeners to know, about the 2019 version of the Colorado State GOP?
Absolutely. I mean, I think, honestly, I've used my last minute to say what we're really pushing people to do right now is get involved in this local off-year election. That's a focus we've had that I don't think all state parties have had in the past, is that these local races deeply matter. If you have a school board candidate, if you have a local city race, if you have anything, whether it's a good conservative or Republican, someone you believe in running in the district, get out and walk for them, make calls for them. We are sharing data that we have with campaigns, any Republican campaign, any conservative campaign that wants it, we are helping them. And we want people to get out and do that and absolutely educate every single friend you have on Prop CC and the importance of voting no on Prop CC. They're hammering that as the state party. We have to keep Tabor. We have to let people know this is your money. The Democrats are trying to permanently take away from you. The ballot wording is deceptive.
Yep.
This is not a tax increase, but money.
Yeah, now we're all over the Stop CC, and even the Denver Post has joined us and other newspapers around the state.
Yep.
It's very exciting, but the language is so deceptive, people need to pay attention. Last thing, and you've got to answer very, very quickly. You guys have been very accessible to many people. If people want to reach out to you, Christy Burton Brown, Vice Chair of the Colorado State GOP, 15 seconds, how do they do it?
You can email me, vicechair@cologop.org. I will get it, and I will answer it.
And say it one more time.
vicechair@cologop.org.
And I can tell you, they are very responsive, and I've had people reach out to me, and I've reached out to Christy or others in the party, and they do follow up. That is a big change that we should be very excited about. Got to let you go, Christy. Have a safe trip home, and I hope to see you soon.
Thanks, Randy. You too.
All right. Looking forward to spending some time with my old buddy Ken Clark on the other side. We'll get to your calls as well, 303-696-1971, and we will be giving away more tickets to the big event on Tuesday, October 29th. Stay with us.
There are three ways to reach the show. Call us at 303-696-1971. Text us on the free-to-download 710KNUS app. Or send us an email. Just go to the Peter Boyles page at 710knus.com and click on Email the Show.